You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow, and I'll reap what I sow. How about that? So I'm going to sow. I want to hear more of the voice of God. I love the voice of God, so I'm just going to reveal how God speaks to me and how He speaks to people in the Bible. And there's infinite ways how God speaks. God, I just welcome your voice right now in Jesus' name. Whoa. Thank you, Lord, for the voice of the Lord. Shake all the trees, God. Come like, speak like in your thunderous voice and terrify the flesh out of here. So there's nothing left but the spirit. Hallelujah. When I was a little boy, my mom, we grew up as Catholics, and she would make me kneel down and I would pray, and I would see little pictures of like Jesus and stuff like that, and just a doorway and just real simple flashes and pictures, but we didn't even have a lick of wisdom to know that God was actually speaking to us. We just thought it was my imagination, which it was, because God was using it. And then later on, the church taught us how to be religious. They taught us how to pray and commit adultery by bowing down to statues and praying repetitious prayers, which Jesus commanded not to do. We had this rosary and, you know, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. We just do these meaningless prayers. It was so boring as a child, like. And my mom would play it on the radio, and they'd be like, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. I don't know, they have more improved versions now, but it was terrible as a kid. I hated it. I hated religion. The pictures stopped. It was just this boredom, so that's not how not to pray. The Bible says don't make repetitious prayers like the heathen do, or like, you know, pray from your heart. Pray it to God like He's right there listening, because He always is. So just the beads, let's throw it away. Pray to God in the spirit. Pray in your spirit. You don't need tools. And I mean, if you want to use a rosary, that's up to you. If there's glory on it, let's do that. I find that I enter higher realms of glory when I open my heart and just surrender everything to God. And I've never entered any realms of glory with a bunch of beads in my hand repeating a man-made prayer that's praying to Mary when we're not supposed to. That's idolatry. Hallelujah. You know, call no one Father. Jesus' his own words, call no one Father, for one is your Father who is in heaven. You know, hallelujah. He always goes back to the spirit realm. So anyways, now that we finished kicking over that sacred cow, finish it off. We're into spiritual things here. We're not into doing dead works. Build your life upon the rock. The rock is Christ. Rock is revelation of God. So I kind of ran away from home because I didn't want to be religious. And then I came back, and my mom took me to this, it was a non-denominational church where they didn't have any beads. There was no catechism, no mass. It was just like all these. It went to the other flip side, where when the guy would preach, his face would turn red, and he would be yelling at us. I thought, well, at least he's passionate. Like, it's not boring. And they gave an altar call, and I was having all these reoccurring nightmares. I told them about. I mentioned those nightmares in a different video. Listen, whenever God says something more than twice, like a reoccurring dream, pay attention, because that's usually God speaking to you, and you need to have wisdom to understand and interpret what God is saying to you. Anyways, the pastor or whatever said, if you need the Holy Ghost, come to the front. And I didn't know you could have a Holy Ghost. So I went to the front, and this Brother Jerry guy was there. His name is Brother Jerry. That's all I remember as a kid. And he's like, "What do you need, son?" I said, "Well, I'm having nightmares, and I don't like it." And he said, "Well, you need the Holy Ghost." I'm like, "Yes, I do." I actually disobeyed my mom because she said, "Don't go up there. You don't know what you're doing." And I didn't know what I was doing, but I went up there anyway because I was a rebellious little punk. I needed the Holy Ghost. I needed someone to discipline me and bring me into full obedience. Hallelujah. So I'm up at the front. And I don't know what he did. He put hands on me, and I just started speaking in tongues. I don't even know what a tongue was, but I began speaking in tongues, and I got the Holy Ghost. And then I got baptized in water, and I remember as soon as I was at the bottom of, like, I got baptized in the water, and I came out, like, underneath the water. I tried speaking in tongues again, but you gotta imagine my little high-pitched voice as a kid. I was a loud kid, and I came out of the water screaming in tongues. And the whole church went silent. And they were just watching this little boy yell in tongues at the front. I didn't care. I didn't know if it was proper protocol or not. And so all I knew is my spirit wanted to pray in tongues. And somebody interpreted the tongues. I believe it was Brother Jerry. And he prophesied. And well, he interpreted it, said that basically that I'm going to be teaching it didn't say years later, but I'm going to have this teaching gift or whatever, and whatever. Truthfully, I actually really suck at talking. So this teaching gift is only Christ in me, the hope of glory. When I yield my body and my mouth to Him, sometimes it turns out really awesome, and I know that God was speaking through me. Other times when I try to do it in my own strength, it is really boring, and that video should be deleted. So I've learned to depend 100% upon Holy Spirit, because He's our teacher, and without Him in our midst, like, we're just spouting off knowledge of good and evil without any experience. So anyways, I want to learn how to hear God. And I remember at this particular non-denominational church, it's funny how the non-denominational has actually become a denomination nowadays, but back then we didn't know anything, we're just kids. I remember kneeling down. I don't remember why I was at the altar again. They called these stairway was the altar, and the pastor was down at the top. And I remember just kneeling down there, and I could feel God. I could feel the presence of God filling the atmosphere. And as I was just laying there as a little boy, the tears, it was touching my heart. Like, the presence was so beautiful, His peace. Like, oh my gosh. God is real. God is real. You know? And then the pastor was coming closer and closer towards me. And the closer he would get, the stronger the presence would get. The stronger the manifestation of the presence of God would get. And he was a couple people over for me. And like, the tears were just like, there was a little puddle in the carpeted stairs from me just crying. They were dripping off my face. And when he came and put his hand on me, it was like fire went through my entire being. It went from the crown of my head all the way through my fingertips, every part of my body. My body, my soul, my spirit was alive. But before he put his hand on me, I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say audibly, "God lives inside of that man." That was the exact word. He didn't say, "I live inside of that." He just said, "God lives inside of that man." And it was an inner audible voice. It almost sounded like my own mind, but it was like, it was not something that I would think. It was like, there was, when he spoke, there was spirit. God lives inside of that man. And it would kind of like lessen. You know, when he would speak, there's power there. And that was the first time I ever heard the Holy Spirit speak. And to back up the word of God, what God spoke to me, as soon as he put his hand on me, the fire of God went right through me. God came through that man and touched me as a little boy. So now, as I've grown up a little bit, I've learned to recognize His voice. It's the same Spirit. When you hear someone speak, it's the same Spirit that's speaking. You can have a thought, but it might not even be God because there's no Spirit on it. God is Spirit, so when God speaks, there's Spirit and there's life. Like for instance today, a spirit of unbelief hit me. I was watching this testimony of this guy who, he died and he went to heaven. And I was just watching him, and then I guess this thought came into me, oh, he's lying. He's lying. I didn't feel any life on it, and I didn't really even feel any darkness on it. So I'm wondering, is that even my own thought? I didn't plan to think that. Like, your thoughts are the ones you choose to think. The other thoughts come from two different realms of, you know, one of darkness and one of light. Kingdom of hell and the kingdom of God. And so I just like, you know what, I'm going to hear this man out. Because Solomon says it's wisdom to, like, hear the matter or something like that. I can't remember what he said, but something like that. So I heard the man out. And as he was talking about, he just broke down. As he talked about seeing Jesus, he was reliving the moment. And it's like, when he hugged me, I could feel it right now. And I knew what he's talking about. I bear witness with what he was saying. And then he said, Jesus said to ask him anything he want to know, right? And so he asked him, well, what is the purpose of life? And Jesus said, oh, that's so simple. And then he said, when you come back or whatever, you can ask me anything you want. I'll answer all your questions. And then I guess he came back to life, and then he went up to somebody, and somebody basically went and told him the purpose of life. And he said, oh, it used the exact same words that Jesus spoke to him, but he finished it. He said, oh, the purpose of life is simple, it's love. And I don't even think he asked him. Like, it was like the way he worded it. This man said to him, oh, the purpose of life is simple, it's loving people. Or no, it's not loving people, it's love. And that was what God spoke to me, like, years ago on a sky train. I asked God, or on a bus, I said, God, what is the purpose of life? And I didn't even expect Him to answer me. And it just came like a zipping thought, love, and it was gone. And so, like, wow, yeah, you can have all the money in the world, you can have all these things. I never really thought about that. I thought the purpose of life would be, you know, to stand up for righteousness, release the kingdom of heaven. You know, it's just love. Not just human love, but God's love flowing through your heart. Out of the heart flows the issues of life, and the issues of life, what should be flowing out of your heart is love. Not just your love, but the love of God that passes all understanding, so that you can just pass the understanding of other people, what their thought patterns are, and God's love will hit them and they'll have an encounter with love. His name is Jesus. Like, God is love. So anyways, learning how to hear the voice of God. Here's Samuel. Was a little boy. Let's just check this out. Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 3. Just so we can have some word here. Yeah. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. So we can count ourselves extremely blessed that these are the days where we can have open visions, because the heavens are wide open because of Jesus. He's the door standing open in heaven that we enter through and just see what's to come, what is, and what was. You know, all eternity is, you look through Him, you can see eternity in His eyes. You look into the eyes of Jesus, you see, like, oh my gosh. You see love. You see the motive of why He created everything. Everything that God created, He created out of the motive of love. Nothing tainted. It's just perfect love. And when you look into it, wow. There's no words to describe the eternity of that depth of His, of who He is. His love. It's not even like what He looks like. It's just that substance of who God is broods right through you. The love, He sees right through you, and it feels good. He loves right through you, and it feels incredible. Anyways, Samuel, there was no open vision. Okay, let's go back to, we're hearing about the voice of God. I'll give you some examples. What an open vision is one time I said to my mom, I said, Mom, I don't feel like I fear God. And this is before she flew up to heaven and never came back. She left her body down here and she flew away to heaven. but I said, Mom, I don't feel like I fear God. Like, I could just sin and flip a God forgive me prayer in Jesus' name, amen, and I'm like good, man. Like, I could just sin at will and just get forgiveness like that. And like, don't talk like that, Chris. I'm like, I'm just being honest, Mom. And she's like, yeah, don't talk like that. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to go downstairs. I'm going to go worship the Lord for a while. And I went downstairs, and she probably started praying. My mom was a prayer warrior. I'd come home, there would be oil all over the walls. I could tell when she's been praying in my room because her fingerprints are everywhere with like that extra virgin olive oil everywhere. She'd be flinging the doors open and kicking her legs for the neighbors to see, yelling, and there's no one there. Well, no one in the flesh. There's just demon spirits kicking them out of the house. So she was probably kicking her legs upstairs and flinging stuff out of the house. Well, I went downstairs to worship Jesus, and I went to go grab my CD, and it was this Worship Invasion CD, and the first song was called Water, no, the first song was called Burn, and the second song was called Water, and I went to go put it in, press play, and I felt like the Lord said, no, 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 play the second song. I'm like, okay. Okay, I grabbed my guitar, and I pushed next, and I played the second song. I sat on my bed, and I was going to start playing guitar. And it goes, in a dry and weary land, you are my water. And when it came to that part, I had an open vision. It just went, my eyes were open. It just went, and I'm watching this reoccurring dream that I had when I was a little boy, before I walked away from the Lord to go into the world. And in this reoccurring dream that God was speaking, I remember I said to Brother Jerry, I said, I'm having nightmares and I don't like it. Well, he said, you need the Holy Ghost. Okay, well, this was that reoccurring dream. And it was, I thought it was a nightmare, but it was God warning me. I was sitting in this couch in heaven, like sitting in a couch and in the sky, okay, as a kid. And I was looking down and I could see the whole world down there as I was sitting on this couch in the sky. And I was like, oh, there's such a draw. It's just such a pull. I gotta know what's down there. It looks so bizarre, something I've never experienced before. And then I was like, I gotta go down there. And I'd be looking down there, and I'd wake up like with this feeling of just almost like terror. I wake up screaming, ah, mom, mom. It's just a dream. Go back to bed. And the next day, I had this dream for a month straight, like every night. And the next night, it would progress. I'd be in this couch in the sky looking down. And then I would see like this world, and I'd see cattle bones. There would be like more details now. I could see the cattle bones, but they were like dead cattle. But there was such a draw to it. Like, what is this? I have to go down there. And then I'd wake up with this terrible feeling of utter horror. Oh, I'll go back to bed. It's just a dream. It's just a nightmare. And then I have the dream again the next night. I'm looking down. This time it progressed. I was looking down upon myself in a couch in the sky, looking down upon myself in a couch in the sky, looking down upon myself in a couch in the sky, looking, being drawn by these dead cattle bones in this realm that looked like the earth as I was in the sky. And I'm like, I have to go down there. And I wake up screaming, ah, it's just a dream, it's just a bad dream, go back to bed. And then that's probably about when I went to see Brother Jerry to pray for me. And then I had this dream again. I went in this couch in the sky looking down upon myself in the sky. And then I see all these dead cattle bones and I have to go down there. I jump off the couch and I'm falling. Ah, just before I hit the ground, I wake up screaming, Mom! just a bad dream. Go back to bed. In one more night, in the couch, looking down upon myself, the pull of the world, death, dead cattle bones, pulling me. I have to go down there. I was seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all this stuff, but I had to go down to the depths of hell. I went down, and I jumped down, and I could see myself falling. And then into the vision, back to, Mom, I don't feel like I fear God. I can just flip a God forgive me prayer, and God will forgive me like that. That's greasy grace. That will put you in hell. Yeah, fool around with God. You need the fear of the Lord. So as I go into this vision, I'm watching the dream, and I'm watching myself fall from Christ in heavenly places into hell. That's what the world was. It pulled me. It was death. Dead cattle bones. And just before I would have fell, the reason it was like all those couches, you know how you see a mirror, like when there's three mirrors, they're like, you go to a bathroom and it goes like almost in eternity. I was falling into eternity, eternal death. And I saw myself falling just before I hit the ground. I would wake up, but I was in His hand. I was in God's hand. God was warning me, you're falling into the world. You're falling into eternal death if you do not wake up. Wake up. I woke up in His hands. And I just started weeping. The presence of God filled my room. I was so thankful. I was so thankful. So thankful that God is good. I was like, oh my God. I could have fell into hell for eternity, but you caught me. You caught me. So I went running to all my neighbors and I told them, you need to go to church. God is real. I had this unbelievable boldness came over me. I went banging on everyone's door. I said, God is real. You got to go to church. I didn't know I could have lived up to Jesus right there. But I was like, oh my God, the fear of the Lord hit me. You know what the fear of the Lord is? It wasn't that His wrath. It was His kindness. The fear of God hit. Oh my God, you're so kind. You could have let me fall into eternal death, but you still stood there while I was falling, and you caught me. You caught me, and no man can pluck me out of your hands. Don't jump out. No one can pluck you out of the hands of God. Don't jump out. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Relax. Enjoy the Lord. The fear of the Lord was an utter shock of awe at how kind He is, how tolerant He is, how patient He is. That for like about 10 years I ran away from Him and did all the sin I could, and He still caught me before I fell into eternal death. That is something to be thankful for. Nothing I did on my own. I myself, by myself, am a wicked man. But that wicked man is put to death in Christ. Now it's Christ living through me, the hope of glory. Yeah, so fear of the Lord is like just an utter shock and state of awe at how kind He is. How He doesn't let us all just vanish from the earth, but He loves us so much that He'll catch us and just keep us close to His heart. He'll keep us close to His heart so we can grow is the planting of the Lord. And so what do you gather out of this? There was no open vision in those days, but there is open vision in these days. You can hear God, you can see God in Christ. And it's all grace. You just, you know, if you're humble in heart, you'll, what, God exalts the humble? Where does He exalt you to? Just to deeper places in Him? Where else would you want to go? Be put on a pedestal? The only place, the highest place I want to go is just deeper and deeper into the Father's heart. Hidden away from the pride of man. Deeper in the secret place of the Most High. Hidden from the pride of man, the snares of the enemy. this world has nothing for me, but I have everything for the world inside of me, and if I can release him, the world will taste and see that he's good. And it's the same with you. If you have Christ in you, I'm not that special. I'm a wicked man apart from Christ, but with Christ in me, oh my gosh, I'm thankful. I'm a thankful man. Hallelujah. So if you've had a reoccurring dream, pay attention to that and ask God for wisdom. What does it mean? It's usually a warning. I believe, what was that, the king? Daniel, no, was it Joseph? Yeah, Joseph, the king had a dream twice about the skinny cows and the fat cows. It was a warning that a drought was coming. And they needed someone with wisdom to interpret that dream. No one can interpret it from the world. You need God. You need the wisdom of God. Holy Spirit. Wow, thank you, Lord. And so that was a warning from God. Usually when a reoccurring dream happens, God is warning you about something. Pay attention to that. And yeah, God, you know, I haven't had very many open visions. It's rare that I get them. They're very rare. I've had like maybe a couple. Another open vision I had was I was walking down the street and the presence of God landed on me. And I looked back and I thought, whoa, what's going on here? And I saw a woman at a bus stop and I thought, maybe the Lord wants me to go talk to her and tell her about Jesus. And so I just stopped and I looked at her, and then boom, like the natural realm just kind of like faded off into the background. Well, the spirit realm just came like right in front of my eyes. So I'm looking in the spirit realm, but I'm in the spirit realm and I'm watching this screen again of this vision. And I'm seeing all these angels around me. And I see me standing in this street church, and I'm holding this huge sword. It's like a Japanese anime sword. It was like 7 feet long, you know, really thick. And it was like, it went right into the ground and right over like this. It was in my, you know, I can't remember if I was holding it or in my holster. And I got this huge, massive sword. And I knew that all those angels that were around me, they were waiting to obey that sword. Whatever that sword would do, the angels would back it up. And that's the sense I had. It was an impression I had within the vision. And then, so I just, I'm out of that, tears rolling down my face. I totally forgot about the woman at the bus stop, and I just kept on walking. And then I got a call from this, someone told me, because the pastor that was at the street church was going to step down, and she wanted me to step up. I guess God told this pastor that I'm the one who's going to be bringing the words now. And she was right. She stepped down, and they told me that, yeah, you're going to be bringing the word of God now. And I'm like, okay. I knew it was the word of the Lord because I saw it in a vision. And the presence of God was there to back it up, because his words are spirit and they are life. And it was just confirmation to what God was already saying to me. And it was a huge deal because I was scared. I didn't really know how to preach. I'm not a very good preacher. I'm not eloquent with words. My education is not very good. People can speak gooder than me, but when you yield your mouth to God, He will use it, because it's the heart that He speaks through. Hallelujah. And He will attach it to English words or Spanish words or French words, whatever language you speak. But it's through the heart that God speaks. It's through your spirit, man. So anyways, yeah, and then I started going to this street church, and I went there, and there was this guy, I think it was the first day I went, I was just kind of testing out the waters, and I wasn't up to preach that night. I just went there to visit, to see what's going on, take the temperature, you know, in the atmosphere. And this guy was from Toronto Blessing or something like that, and he was talking about all of his dreams and visions, and it was kind of boring. I don't know, maybe I was just too tired. And he was just giving his testimony, And but I felt so bored. I didn't sense the anointing. I was really tired, and I don't know, maybe I shouldn't have came here. And I think I was there to do the worship or something. No. Yeah, it was another time. Anyways, yeah, so I was going to sneak out. Yeah, I think I was there to do the worship with this team. And it was kind of cool because during the worship, there was zero anointing. And then I'm like, I left. They were doing this like G, D, E minor, C chord progression. And I just kind of like, I'm sick of this, man. I need the anointing. I can't worship God unless you break my heart open, God. Break my heart open. Give me the grace to worship you in spirit and truth. And then I left the dude there playing the guitar. And I went and knelt down. And I just cried out to God from my heart. And I'm kneeling at this altar. I'm supposed to be part of the band. But I left. I knelt in front of he was singing here. And I went in front and just kind of knelt down like I was like coming to an altar call or something. And I would just cry out to God. And then the anointing just went bam, just slammed the place. I look up and there's stuff coming out of the guy's nose. I'm like, oh, he got hit by the anointing too. The heavens just opened up and it was great. And then, when it was time, you know, the guy did his preaching and stuff like that, his testimonies. And I was going to sneak out. I didn't want to do a second round of worship. And then I grabbed my guitar and I'm sneaking out. And he's like, hey, worship man, or guitar man, or something like that. He called me over. He's like, do you have anything from the Lord? I was like, oh, I thought about it. And then the angels, you know, and the sword, the vision I just had, you know, popped in my mind. I'm like, yeah. And so I'll just give this quick testimony. And I told them how I was just walking down the street. And this is basically what happened. It was a dry, boring atmosphere. I came walking up, I grabbed the mic, I was like, hi, yeah, I was walking down the street, and all these angels appeared around me, and I have a huge sword, and the angels are here to back up that sword. And as soon as I said that, boom, God exploded in the place. Holy laughter broke out. This woman she fell on the floor. And it was just like, I was shocked. I was shocked. It was effortless. I wasn't trying to like conjure anything. I just said what I saw. It's kind of like reminded me of Jesus. I only do what I see my Father doing. He told me to go there. I only say what I hear my Father saying. I spoke what I saw. And there was a release of glory where the atmosphere of heaven broke into the place because I spoke what I saw. And I was doing what my Father told me to do because he told me that he was at the street church and I had the sword. And that was proof. It was backed up by a demonstration of power, and it wasn't anything I did. I was kind of like clueless. I'm usually clueless anyway when it comes to stuff like that. God just kind of shows up and just wows me. But that came out of an open vision. That was something that just opened up, a realm opened up, and like I saw it. And when I acted out through obedience, it brought the power of God from heaven into the earth, and people experienced it. So open visions are great. Peter in Acts chapter 10, I believe it's chapter 10 or 9. Yeah, he fell into a trance. Yeah, it's Acts chapter 10. I don't know, I can't remember. But I listen to the audio Bible, so I forget all the chapters and verses. But in the book of Acts, Peter fell into a trance. And in the trance, he saw a vision of a sheet let down to the earth. And all these clean, unclean animals were there. And God was saying, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter was like, not so, Lord. If I've never eaten anything unclean or something like that. And then and God kind of like tells Peter to correct him now. That don't call unclean what I've made clean, or what I've made clean. You can read it in the book of Acts. And basically what happened, what's really key about that verse is like, yeah, he's fell into a trance and he saw a vision, and then he received power because the Holy Spirit fell on the people when he went to go tell them about what happened, what he saw in the vision. that God was, you know, because the Jews used to consider the Gentiles as like unclean, and but God has cleansed them, thank God, you know, because of the blood of Jesus. It doesn't have to do with any nation. It has to do with the heavenly nation, New Jerusalem, that's come down from heaven. That's us. You know, we're in Christ. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew, if you're a Greek, if you're Spanish, if you're English, if you're African, Chinese, it doesn't matter. Are you in Christ? Then you're part of the body of Christ. You're connected to Him, and He's the one who makes you clean. Not your dead works. Not all your praying the rosary. Not anything you do. It's everything He's done. You receive it by faith, and you walk it out on the earth. So anyways, falling into trance and seeing a vision. Okay, let's talk about that for a while. One time I was at work. I'm just giving you these personal examples because I'm basically a nobody. But my heart knows somebody. My heart follows after Him. And if your heart would follow after Him too, you'll have the same encounters. Not like mine, or just like people in the Bible. God chose these fishermen. Fishermen. If you're a fisherman, you're a candidate. Whatever. God can use you. If you're a mom, if you're a dad, God can use you. It's not what you do on the earth. It's what He's done in heaven, and you can receive and see in heaven. It's very important to see so that you can do what your Father's doing in heaven and then release that power onto the earth. Man, just pursue God with worship. The more you seek God, the more you'll see God coming through you. To you and through you. He'll use you. He'll use anyone who's yielded to Him 100%. Doesn't want anything to do with the fallen nature, but wants everything to do with Christ's nature. So I was laying at work one time. I was on my lunch break, and I was really tired. So I just lay down, and I could hear I could see the fan. The last thing I saw is I closed my eyes, and I'm just going into a rest state. And as I go into this rest state, I could hear the fans, and I go like into this realm of peace. It was like a realm I've never been in before. It was like this realm of glory, and I'm just encapsulated with peace. It's around me, and it's in me, and they've connected, and it's through me. I'm like just like in this realm of glory, and in this realm of glory, which, well, I fell into a trance. It was like I could sleep. I was like half awake and half asleep, stuck there. I wasn't sleeping and I wasn't fully awake. I could hear the fans in the background, so I knew I was still on the earth, but I was in a spiritual place in Christ, in heavenly places. I was in this glory realm in Christ, and I heard the fans, and then all of a sudden, like, that's the trance. I fell into this trance of, like, it's like a state of manifest presence of God, glory realm. And in this trance, I saw a vision. As I'm in this peace, glory, realm, trance place, this place, I just call it a trance from God. Hallelujah. Blood of Jesus on my throat. I'm watching myself preach. But it wasn't me preaching. It was Jesus. It was Christ in me, the hope of glory, releasing that glory. And I was preaching. And I was saying, I am the shepherd. I was basically preaching John chapter 10. Here, let's go to it. This is what I was saying. It's basically John chapter. I'm the shepherd of the sheep. No man comes, anyone who comes to the gate apart from me is a thief and a liar, kind of stuff like that. And I was just like this, just authoritative. It wasn't like hype. It was just, you knew that when I was speaking, it was like Jesus was speaking Himself. Using my body. And I looked around, and I'm watching this vision, and I couldn't manipulate it. You know how sometimes when you're daydreaming, you can manipulate, you can rerun it, you know, you can adjust some certain things, but I couldn't manipulate it. I was there as a spectator watching myself preach, actually watching Jesus preach using my body. And there was all these Asians around me. I was preaching to Asians. using English. And there was an interpreter beside me. And it was really powerful. Like, I wish I could preach like that. Man, it was so good. It was good. I wish there was a record button I could press, you know, I could rewatch it again and just get blasted. But, hallelujah, man. So, I came out of that, and I'm still in the trance thing, and then it kind of lifts off of me. And then I hear, that's the work bell to get back to work. God, man, your timing is so smooth. You know everything. And then I was just like, whoa, that was awesome. And then I'm going home that day, and I'm like, I don't know, man, Jesus, where are you preaching from? Where's that in the Bible? I know it's in the Bible. Where's that in the Bible? And then as I'm sitting on the bus, the Holy Spirit walks by me. I don't know, he's in me, but he's also around me. Or, I don't know, John chapter 10. Presence of God lifts.
What?
So, John chapter 10, and it's gone. Like, presence of God, and there's just absolute, back to normal, whatever, the natural realm. In the spirit for 1 second, then focus back on the natural realm. I'm like, no, it can't be John chapter 10. So I went through Matthew. I'm looking through all, like, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and I'm reading all the highlights to see where, the shepherd of the sheep is, the gate, the door. And then when I got to John chapter 10, I was like, oh, forgive me, God. I should have just believed you. I'm growing in this stuff. And sure enough, it was John chapter 10. And then about a couple weeks later, we made plans to go down to Taiwan. And I went down there, and somebody on the internet, they saw a picture of me where I gave my shoes to this. They took a picture of me. It got me mad. I don't like self-promotion, but I don't know. I gave my shoes to this. I took off my shoes on the street and I gave them to this homeless man. And I had more at home. Like, it wasn't a big deal, but they made a big deal out of it. And I guess they thought they kind of labeled me as like the street missionary, which I was. You know, I don't know. I just, but it got me mad that they kind of like blew it up like that without asking me, because I would have told them not to. But maybe the Lord had something in it, you know. His plan was in it. So they knew about this guy in Vancouver who gave his shoes to a poor man who didn't have any shoes. And it was cold out. And so they wanted me to come speak at their church. It was a street church. And I'm like, yeah, of course I'll go. I've seen the vision already. I know what to preach on. It's so easy. And then, so I go down there, and as soon as I get there, God starts speaking to me. God starts breaking my heart for the lost. It's hard to explain, because I went there and I'm sitting down eating breakfast. I'm in like Taiwan eating breakfast, and I have like this omelet thingy, and I see these skinny little dogs. Remember the woman? Jesus called her a dog. She said, like, if we could just eat even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Like, these people are so hungry, just a crumb would satisfy them. And I just, like, my heart broke. I was like, oh my gosh, these people. I saw this dog as hungry people. It's symbolic, like, just a crumb. Just a crumb, if I could just get them a crumb. Getting emotional again. Help me, Holy Spirit. And so I went up to this dog, and I gave it my breakfast. And I don't know, I thought I could help. Like, I'll just give this dog my breakfast. You know, it's more blessed to give than to receive, you know. So I gave this dog, I could see his ribs on the, you know, I'm allergic to dogs. But I felt so much compassion for this dog, because I could see his ribs, and he's a street dog. And I was going to a street church out in Taiwan, so I haven't quite made all the connections yet, but God's working on me. And he would not eat it. There was so much fear in this dog that he would not eat that omelet thing that I left for him. It broke my heart. I was like, oh my gosh. I said to my friend beside me, I said, we're going to go find that dog and I'm taking him back to Canada. That is going to be my dog. But you're allergic to dogs. It doesn't matter. That dog should not suffer like that. I started, tears come to my eyes, you know. I see that dog. There's a bigger picture. That dog is just a symbol of like all the people that are starving for the bread of life. But they're just so fearful to eat because they've been eating poison food for so long, which is the knowledge of good and evil, religion. And they want the real true bread of life, but they're fearful to eat. And so I just like, you know, love doesn't seek itself. God just consumed me with his love for this dog. I didn't care about my weakness of allergies. It crossed my mind, but it didn't matter. All that mattered was that dog would get bread. That dog would be healthy again. I went looking for the dog. I couldn't find the dog. And then they told me later, well, you can't take a dog from Taiwan to Winnipeg. There's all these paperwork and stuff like that. Okay, whatever. Let's go to this. Let's finish doing whatever we're here to do. We went to this street church in Taiwan. Nobody could speak English. And so I had the interpreter beside me. And you knew what I preached. Jesus said, I am the door. I knew what he was saying. It was a rebuke. It was a rebuke about like all these other forms of Jesus, but it's not the real Jesus. People are starving for the real thing, but all they're getting is this fake gospel. It's not, there's no substance, there's no tree of life, there's no transformation of heart, there's no transformation of spirit life. It's just all head knowledge, and then you get religious and quote scriptures, and you think you know something, but you don't know him. Gotta know him. It's all that matters. And when you know him, he'll come through you, because you're part of his body, and he wants to use his body to feed the world. Your measure of food that you can give is the measure that you love Jesus. Jesus said, Peter, you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Why? Because he denied him 3 times. But also, the measure that you love Jesus is the measure that he can come through that love and feed the people. You can't even obey his commands unless you love him. Because you'll want to do your own thing. No condemnation. Let's just get real though. No condemnation in Christ. Let's get in Christ. Let's get real. Let's get out of the fake gospel of do's and don'ts and get into the real gospel of Christ in you, the hope of glory, where he does the works. You only do what you see your Father doing in heaven. You only say what you hear your Father saying in heaven. Because you're seated there in Christ. Hallelujah. My sheep hear my voice. The voice of another they will not follow. It's in John chapter 10. So anyways, yeah. Jesus kind of rebuked all those people at the street church. And I didn't intend to do that. But you know, he can do what he wants. We're the body of Christ. He can use his body whatever way he wants. And that all came out of an open vision. That came out of a trance. And in a trance, I saw a vision. And it always leads to more. When you step out and obey, when you obey what you see, there will be promotion. And the promotion is just seeing God's nature unravel in you. Like, come on. Loving unconditionally, that's a God thing. I can try with all the strength that I have in myself to love unconditionally, and I will utterly fail. But when you yield and you die to yourself and you allow God, who is unconditional love, to unravel that love through you, you will win. It's his love. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, not you. It's Christ in you. It's God, it's Christ's nature formed in you. Hallelujah. you know, human love is nice, it's cool, but I like the love of God more. There's a lot more glory on it. Hallelujah. So these are just some hear and obey. Oh yeah, we're supposed to finish 1 Samuel. There was no open vision in that day, but there are open visions in this day. God is speaking to us through His Son, and His Son is the Word of God, and the Word of God is spiritual. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It proceeds, not proceeded, proceeds. It may have proceeded, and then God is saying that right now. Like, you can use the Word of God and read it, and then that's fresh rhema right there, what God is speaking. Because this whole book is alive. I love the Word of God. I put it on before I go to sleep every night. I just listen to it and meditate on it. And I just love the Word of God. I don't know, just, if you love God, you'll love what He says. And the greatest key to hearing God is a pure heart. And it's not even just hearing God, it's seeing God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Because that purity in heart comes from the refiner's fire by spending time with... Who can dwell with a consuming fire? Because of Christ, we can. Because of Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus. He's made the way. He's the torn temple. His flesh was torn so we can come through His wounds into the most holy place and abide in that manifest presence of God. We can remain in the under the shadow of the Most High God, you know? Psalm 91. Yeah. That's another thing. Another time I was like laying on my bed. I had a chair that I used to like kind of like take naps on at lunchtime when I was working at building guitars and stuff. I would just lay back on this chair. And one time I just fell into this state. I don't even know if I was like in a trance or a vision. I was just daydreaming. It just seemed like I was just daydreaming about God. And He was preaching again through me, but it was all the Word in. And I started getting all this amazing understanding about the Word in, what it, like throughout the whole Bible. Jesus sat there for 10 minutes preaching, using my voice, but like in a, like it was almost like a Pentecostal, in the beginning, you know, like that, like you see on the TV. It was just intense. I don't talk like that. I just talk like me and, you know, whatever. But it was like that. And I was listening to Jesus preach on in. And the very first scripture, like, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was blah, blah, blah. Okay, so, in the beginning, God created. The eternity came out of God. And then He stepped into eternity. And then He created the beginning. And then, He was in the beginning, He created the heavens, the invisible realm and the visible realm. And He stepped into the heaven and all the angels. And then He created the earth. And then He stepped into the earth. And then He stepped into us. By breathing the breath of life into Adam. And then Adam became a living, He became alive. And now God is inside of us today. It's like, man, He feels all in all. Hallelujah. I don't know. It's just the way the way it was unraveling in my daydream, it was like all this understanding. It was in also again in Psalm 91, like, He who dwells in the shadow of the Most High. I can't even remember right now. Jesus. This is what He said. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That shadow is the overshadowing, that overshadowed Mary, that birthed Jesus, that birthed Christ into the world. It's the same shadow with the overshadowing where Peter's shadow healed those people. It's the overshadow of God. It's not darkness. It's It's like the overshadowing of God. It's like the brooding. It's the brooding over us. So if you, he that abides, there's the key to abiding right there. He that dwelleth in this secret place, you're dwelling in this secret place. That's the Holy of Holies, where God's invited us to today. As you enter through the wounds of Jesus, through that curtain that was torn, that's his wounds. That was opened up. Inside of Jesus is heaven. You go through him to enter paradise. You go through him to see the Father. You go through him to encounter, you know, what was that? Hold on a second. Okay, I'm getting excited here. you must be born of the water and spirit to see the kingdom of heaven, and but to enter it, oh yeah, you must be born again to enter, to see the kingdom of God. But to enter it, you got to be born of spirit and water. Help me, Holy Spirit. See, there's something about seeing, and there's something about actually walking in it. Well, it all comes out of this. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, if you dwell in that place, it's like it becomes it comes from within you, and then it comes around you. The kingdom of God within you activates the kingdom of heaven around you, so you can walk in an open heaven. Okay, Nicodemus, go back to that one. We want to be scripturally accurate. So this is what Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So if you want to see the kingdom of God, you got to be born again, being born of the Spirit. Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" See, that's the problem right there. He's looking naturally at something. When you see an angel, you see it in the Spirit. When you see God, you see him in the Spirit. You can, and it will manifest in the natural. Like, you'll see the natural effects. Like, you see the natural effects of the wind blowing trees. You don't see the wind, but you see the trees moving because of the wind. You can feel the wind on your face. But the wind is invisible. It's the same thing with God. Like, you got to be born again of the Spirit to see the Spirit. So that invisible things are made visible. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." So if you're born of the Spirit, you are a spirit. You are spirit. That's your nature. Your nature is spirit, not flesh. You're not carnal. You're spiritual. You're not fleshly and demonic. You're spiritual and righteous. You're made holy by the blood of Jesus and by receiving him. By you grow your spirit by feasting on the bread of life. Life. The bread of life. Not natural bread. You can grow your body and your flesh if you work out and eat bread and meat and whatever. Natural things. But you feast on spiritual things. You grow your spirit. Feast on the good spiritual things, though. Don't feast on witchcraft and demonic stuff, because that's spiritual too, but it's demonic. You'll kill yourself if you feast on that. You need to feast on Jesus. You need to drink his blood, which is life indeed. It's the life of God. Life is in the blood. Drink the blood of Jesus. You're drinking the life of God. Feast on the bread of life. You'll grow your spirit. That's the revelation words of God. It's every word that God is speaking. Because remember, Satan tried to tempt him to turn something natural into bread. Like, turn those rocks into bread. And Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how man lives, is by the words of God. That's the bread. Jesus is the manna come down from heaven. He's the bread of God. Feast on him. It's communion. It's a heart thing. It's a heart issue. And you speak with your mouth. And once you feast on bread, you grow your spirit a little bit. You feast on the Word of God, you get revelation. You're drinking his blood, you feel intoxicated on the love of God. While the life, the river of life is flowing through you, there's still more. How about some lamb? I mean, bread is good. What, well, how about some lamb? How about some meat? How about some of the deep things of God that don't have any earthly parallels? Well, now you're not only just seeing, but you're walking in the kingdom of God. Like John, you're seeing things above that just like you don't have the words to explain it. And if you read the book of Revelation, it's like, I saw something like. They don't have vocabulary for it. So, yeah. Hallelujah. I hope you're enjoying this. It's starting to get a little bit more intense for me. I feel a lot of peace. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We want the meat of the gospel. We thank you for the bread of your presence, God. We just feast on the bread of your presence, growing our spirit strong. Thank you for the meat of the gospel so we can grow our spirit even stronger, God. Big muscles of fruit. You know, the fruit of the spirit is like muscles to a natural body. I was watching my wife. We went to this conference, and she never experienced the drunken glory before. So we went to this conference. She had no idea what I was talking about, and I'd be all intoxicated, and she would get mad at me for I'd be talking the ghost in the grocery store because I feel the presence of God. I was like, I'm not doing it for attention. I'm doing it because I just feel so much of the presence of God. And if it offends your natural mind, I'm sorry. You're going to have to forgive me because that's what Christians do. They have to forgive everyone if they want to be forgiven. So I'm going to enjoy the presence of God, and you're just going to have to get over your opinions. I'm sorry. I love you. So anyways, it was a while, and we went to this conference, and it scared me. She was so hammered in the Holy Ghost. She was the loudest one in the meeting. She was yelling, like the joy of the Lord hit her, like just this continual waves of glory, and I could feel it. I would take my invisible sippy cup, I would scoop it into the atmosphere, and I'm like, whoa, my lips would go numb, and it would go right through me. It was literally a river of life. It was like, when I would drink it, it wouldn't go down, it would go boom, right through my face, through my arms, and it would explode through me. And I'm like, she's gonna try this. So I would dip it in, I'm like, here, try mine. And we're drinking these sippy cup barrels of the glory in this conference, and she was hammered all the way home. I was scared because if she's is she gonna sober up? Could she drive in the natural? She is laughing all the way home. I could feel it coming off of her, the glory rob. And we live with this person who is very, very religious, and I thank God that he allowed us into his home. And we stayed there for about 6 months during this season of our life, and I was like, oh no, he's gonna kick us out, because he's a Baptist and he didn't believe in the spiritual thing. You know, he just believed just the Bible. Didn't really believe what the Bible said in terms of the Spirit, but he believed the Bible. It's hard to explain. I don't know. It's just these mindsets, you know. So, I'm like, oh, we're going to get kicked out. At first I was like, oh no, we're going to crash. She's too hammered in the Holy Ghost to drive. And we get home and, oh no, we're going to get kicked out. I got to calm her down. And I'm like, no, you don't. My spirit man thought, no, you don't. You've been waiting for this. She needs to, she's full of God. I'm like, yeah. Rebuke double-mindedness off of me. I'm like, okay. And then we laughed all night. We were texting back and forth, and our friends can feel the glory. It's like, wow, there's so much glory here. I'm like, I know, my wife is leaking. We drank a lot of sippy cups in the glory tonight. And then I woke up, she was still hammered. Oh my gosh, we gotta hide. My natural mind's getting, man, what are we gonna do? I'm like, I know what we can do. We'll get grounded in the Word of God. Let's open up the Bible. And you just read any scripture and Revelation, just and as I'm just I'm trying to get grounded in the Word of God, I just saw the fruits of the Spirit. it was like muscles, like, you know when you flex a muscle? I don't have any, but in the natural. But when you flex a muscle, it goes. It's the same thing in the spirit. It's like you're in the spirit now. When you flex your muscles, it's like boom, this fruit of the spirit pops out of you. And it's fragrant. And people can taste and see it. It's like, that's the strength of the Lord. It's His strength through you. You know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's the Lord's joy coming through you, manifesting into the atmosphere, through the whole atmosphere, through your spirit. You know, it's the peace of God. It's peace. It's His peace. Peace of God. Boom, just going right through you. You know, and so I was just reading any random scripture, Matthew chapter 5. I just flipped it open. I like the Beatitudes. I never ever saw this before until my wife got hammered and started leaking. She had an open heaven because the kingdom of heaven, with kingdom of God within her, was leaking into a kingdom of heaven, like an open heaven around her. I don't know how to explain it, but that's what happened. And we just opened it up. And seeing the multitudes, this is Jesus. He went up into a mountain. When he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Poor in spirit means you're just yielding. You're like, your spirit.